Matthew chapter number 11. Boy, it's good to be in church today. Good to know Christ. I'm excited about being here. To be honest with you, I need to be here this morning. I need to hear from God this morning. How about you? We don't need to hear what the newspaper's saying or some pundit's saying or the media's saying. We need to hear from what God's saying. Amen. If you got your Bible, Matthew chapter number 11, I'm excited to preach this morning. I've been testing my leg a little bit, and I stood a little yesterday at a service, a funeral service I wanted to, and I know I'm not quite ready for the 30-minute job yet, but I tell you what, I'm glad I'm saved, sitting or standing. I'm glad I can proclaim Jesus Christ this morning. He's Lord, He's King, He's everlasting Father. I thank God this morning. Boy, I feel like preaching this morning. Matthew chapter number 11, a very popular passage of Scripture. Years ago, I did a lot of street preaching. And Brother Chad, when I did that street preaching, I used this passage of Scripture a lot. Michael Adams is here. Years ago, we used to go into prisons together, and I use this passage of Scripture a lot because it's a familiar passage, but boy, it's a wonderful passage. And I want you to look with me to Matthew chapter number 11, and every song today's went with this passage. Everything that's went on, I believe the Holy Ghost of God wants you to hear what I'm preaching this morning. The Bible says this, and not just the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ says this. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor."
Well,
I need to go over that again. We're living in troublesome times, aren't we? We're living in black times. We're living in times of crisis, times of chaos. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will." Not "I might." Not "I think I might." No, "I..." Well, glory. Well, glory. "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall..." I like that. Say it with me, church. "Ye..." Do it again. He didn't say "you might" or "if I get around to it." "Ye shall find rest under your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In Genesis chapter number 7, and I like the law of first mentions, the first invitation to mankind was given in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. When God was ready to destroy the earth with water and kill every person on the earth. But thank God the Bible said something. Boy, I'm about to get happy right here. Thank God the Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want all y'all to know something. We're winding up, okay? Things are just about over. The Lord Jesus is just about ready to come. And I want you to know something. He said to Noah, "Come on in." He found grace. I want you to know, if you're lost today, if you're a child of God troubled today, there is a place you can come this morning. Genesis 7 is the law of first mention, the first time an invitation is mentioned. Revelation chapter number 22, and I like this, I'm going somewhere, y'all just hang in here with me. Revelation chapter number 22 has what I call the final invitation. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." I want you to know something. It's wrapping up, and I'm glad that God's got his final invitation out for every one of you today. If you have a need, God's there to fill that need. But I want to hone in on this particular passage, and I would call this the foremost invitation. You say, why is it the greatest? Why is it the foremost? Because it is a personal, oh, glory. I'm about ready to run. Well, I couldn't do that. About ready to crawl, maybe. You say, why is it so important and why is it so great? Because it is a personal invitation from your Lord himself. I've had a lot of general invitations. You know, people invite you to a revival or invite you for something, go to something, but there's nothing like a personal invitation from your great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's personally this morning. He's personally inviting all you that are laboring and heavy laden, and he'll give you rest. I'm interested in this. I'm going somewhere. Whew. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what his invitation's about. It's about rest. How many of y'all can agree with me? In these last 2 years of this pandemic and all this trouble, it's been hard to rest. It's been hard to everywhere you look, there's trouble. And by the way, there's a lot of people that pay doctors a whole lot of money to try to find rest and peace. I know a lot of people that go to psychiatrists because they're trying to find somebody to give them rest. But I want to tell you, the rest I'm talking about is not something you can get in a pill. No, this is rest for the soul, and it only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Billy Graham. Billy Graham used to be a great preacher. A lot of times we think the preacher's going to give us rest. No. No other preacher. I was somewhere the other day, and somebody who's well known was preaching. And I can appreciate what the folks said. And here's what they said: man, we need to get everybody to this one guy, because if we can get him to this one guy, he's the thing right now. He can get people to Christ right now. He can move people. I want you to know something. They ain't a preacher in the world. They're not an evangelist in the world. There's not a church in the world that can give you rest. It only comes under come unto Jesus Christ. Somebody help me preach. I'm not asking you to come and join this Baptist church this morning, because that's not going to give you rest. I'm not asking you, well, glory to God, I'm about to get happy. By the way, you're not going to get rest in no baptism pool either. Amen. Hey, you can get baptized so many times the frogs know you by first name, but that ain't going to get you rest. Right. I'm about to help me. I tell you what he's saying, Lois, this is good. He didn't say come to all that stuff. Come to the Baptist church. Come to the Methodist church. He didn't say all that. He said come unto me. Amen. Amen. You say, well, that's just too simple. Well, that's God's way. Somebody help me preach over here. Amen. Come unto me. Simply saying, if you're ruined and your life's a wreck and you're a mess and you're going through trouble this morning, you can, well, glory to God, you can find relief with me. You can find redemption with me. You can find restoration with me. You can find reviving with me. You can find hope with me. You can find help with me. Good Lord, have mercy. Amen. I tell you what some of your problem is this morning. You're looking to the wrong person to find rest. You ain't going to find rest in Muhammad. You're not going to find rest in Buddha. You're not going to find rest in the Pope. You're not going to find rest in me. You're going to find rest in Jesus. Woo! Help me this morning. I want you to know. Oh, I want to stand so bad, so I just shout it out. I want you to know something. I thank God for the day that I found rest. Yeah.
Amen.
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 I don't want to shake y'all up. I'm glad Jesus got me before religion did. I think I better say that again. I'm glad Jesus got me before religion did. Because the Bible said we preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ. Somebody help me preach. Hey, he's a friend. He'll forgive. Only the Savior can do that this morning. Whew. Well, glory. I'm bogging down. I tell you what, I didn't know I was going to get this happy, but I'm happy right now. I'm about ready to shout my head off. Let me give you three things by way of introduction. Please look at your Bible with me. Let me take you step by step, and then I'll give you the passage. First of all, there's several steps in this passage that led the Christ say, "Come unto me." Several steps. Number one, look at verse number 2 and 3. The Bible says this. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" This was none other than the cousin of the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist. He had now been in prison about a year. I believe he was discouraged. By the way, you want to come this morning? This is a scene of discouragement. And there's one thing I can tell you. You have not arrived to a place that you won't get discouraged. Hey, you know what Jesus said about him, Lois? He said he's the greatest prophet. He said he's the greatest preacher. Somebody help me preach. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Boy, I am happy now. And by the way, just because you are a great Christian, and just because you might have do some good works in the church, doesn't mean you ain't going to get discouraged. There's probably people in this room right now, Christians that came into this room right now. You're all labored down, you're burdened, and you're having a hard time to even get into service because your mind's out there somewhere where your problem is. But if I could help you this morning, if you could just lay that discouragement down for a moment and lay that problem down for a moment and lay that burden down for a moment and come to Christ this morning and let him help you and glean from his word this morning, dear God, you'll get some help.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the devil will come unto you when you're discouraged, and he'll try to say, "Hey, y'all, how many of y'all have been discouraged?"
Yeah.
Well, the rest of you liars.
Right.
See, I want you to tell you, there's one thing about being discouraged, but there's another thing. The devil will come up to you when you get all down and in dumps, and he'll tell you that you're worthless.
Right.
He'll tell you ought to quit everything. He'll tell you ought to slow down and not have as much responsibility here and responsibility here. You look me right in your eyeball. You need to stay for God. You don't let any discouragement, any naysayer get you away from focus on Jesus Christ, because he's here to take care of your discouragement this morning. Somebody help me preach. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people try to kick people while they're down. I don't know why, but they do. But Jesus is not like that. In this passage, John the Baptist, the greatest, his faith was shaken. I want you to know something. I'm not real proud of this. I wish it hadn't happened. But there have been some times in my life when my faith's shaken. Amen. But you know what Jesus' message is? Not to kick you while you're down, but to lift you up where he is. Somebody help me, preach. Then number two, let me hurry. In verses 20 through 25, I want you to notice this. I'll read it to you because it's important to the context. We've seen a scene of discouragement or discouraged saint. But in verse 20 through 25, I see a scene of a doomed sinner. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works were done in thee, that was done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago. Somebody help me in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted in the heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than you. And at that time, listen to this, this is important. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid, well, glory, these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed it unto babes. Well, glory to God. This whole crowd that was around Jesus were doomed sinners. And you want to know why they were doomed sinners? Two reasons. Number one, they wouldn't repent. I'm going to say this, and it's going to be on TV, it's going to be on the internet. I wish everybody that's listening to me on live stream, you share this. I want the whole world to hear what I'm about to say. Even in our churches today, in our Baptist churches, we have got away from that word, repent. Hey, by the way, Christian, they sometimes you need to repent. Hey, by the way, sinner, if you're going to get saved, you need to repent. Somebody help me preach. And I tell you what, not only, two reasons they were doomed. Not only they refused to repent, but they thought they were smarter than Jesus. Because see, he said, I hid those things. I want you to know something. Boy, I don't want to get real straight, but I think I am. Some people think they're smarter than Jesus. Amen. I had one guy I was witnessing to a week or so ago, and he was one of those guys. He said this to me. He said, well, I just think going down those churches ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites, and all they do is put on a show, and I don't believe much in that. And he said, by the way, I believe in science, and I believe in the Big Bang Theory, and I think we come here through evolution. And I want all y'all to know something. I'm glad that God made me dumb. So I wouldn't stumble over that the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Somebody help me right there. And then let me give you a third thing by way of introduction. And I'm almost done. But glory to God, I'm enjoying it. In verses 28 through 30, I see a delivering Savior. This invitation was given by Jesus himself. He's telling the doomed sinners, he's telling the discouraged saints, come unto me. You say, preacher, whatever, and I want to give you some advice. You ought to run to Jesus this morning for help. If you're on your way to hell, you ought to run to him. You're a Christian, you're out in sin, or you're troubled and discouraged, you need to run to him. You might say, preacher, I don't have enough strength to run. Then walk to him. You say, preacher, I don't have enough strength to walk. Then crawl to him, because you need to find him this morning. Bring your baggage. Bring your issues. Bring your failures. And cast all your care upon him. For he careth for you. You say, I don't know if he can handle it. Well, you can't. It's obvious you've tried. It's obvious that you've tried and you're wore out and you've tried to fix this and fix that. You can't fix your soul. You can't give rest to your soul. You can't give hope to your soul. They just one can do that. Whew. Now I'm concluding. Three thoughts and I'm done. Look at verse 28. Follow up with me and I'll be done. I want to show you this personal invitation to rest. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden. I see the call of this invitation, and it is all.
Amen.
I want you to know that I get in right there. I don't think y'all got it. I get in right there. It's an inclusive call. It's a whosoever will call. Let him come. Yeah, well, glory. Jesus doesn't leave out anyway. You know, society likes to pick and choose. Society likes to pick and choose winners and losers. I want you to know something. Every one of us was born in sin, and we were all born a loser. But I want you to know he's got a call this morning that you come. Everybody can come. Anybody can come, and you can do it anywhere. And God is able to take care of you this morning.
Amen.
Good preaching, preacher. Expands to all generations. You know, expands. Hey, that might be some people in this room. You say, well, I've just been too mean. I've done a lot of bad things. And I don't think he'd take me. No, no, no. It's coming to me all. Yeah, there's some of you Christians here. And I don't know why you do this. I really don't know why you do this. Why do you come to church and hear the truth about what God does for you and go out of the building and live like the world and trust the world? And do what they do and try to fix things that way. You can't fix your marriage that way. You can't fix a job problem that way. You can't fix your health that way. They just won remedy this morning. Come on, you. Thank God it is an inclusive call. But listen. Listen. And this is not contradictory, but I want you to hear it. It's also an exclusive call, Dave. I like that. By the way, if you come, that means you got to get up and relocate. I don't think y'all got that. It's an inclusive call. What is it? He said, come unto what? Me. If I'm going to get to where he is. By the way, if you're going to get where God is, you can't stay where you are. Somebody help me here. You can't stay where you are. See, I believe God draws you. He won't leave you where you were. But, hey, I wouldn't give you a nickel for salvation that doesn't cause a relocation in your life. Hey, if any man be in Christ, what is he? A new creature. You know, there's people today said, well, I'm homosexual. But I can do that and still come to Christ. No, you can't.
Right.
And I'm going to get some flack over that. I ain't really worried about it this morning. I feel kind of bold this morning anyway. I'm into transgender and I'm into all that goofy stuff. I want you to know something. You ever repent? You say, well, I'm into alcohol. I get alcohol to give me some relief and from my pain and my burden. No. You come to Christ. You can't stay where you are. You got to come where he is. And that takes repentance. Somebody say amen. Whew. I heard this and it just absolutely blew my mind. I heard it. There's 70% of Christians were surveyed. And 70% of them said there were many ways to get to God. I want you to know something. You look at me. Jesus said this, and I'm going to count on him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. There's just one way, and that's coming to Jesus Christ, relocating from your sin, turning from Satan and turning to Jesus. Let me illustrate it. I'm going to look over to Chad. Chad, come. Come up here. Just illustrate. You know what he had to do to get up where I am? You had to relocate from that chair and come up here. You're in this room and you're in sin. You need to relocate from your sin and come to the sin bearer. Come to Jesus Christ and let him save you from your sin. Somebody help me preach. And Christian, why don't you quit trying to do it all and trying to, you think you're the end all, you got all the right decision, you're smart enough to take care of yourself. You're not. You need to come to Christ this morning. By the way, he initiates the contact. I remember a story, boy, I'm about to get happy, about a dead man that was in a tomb. And he was wrapped up with grave cloth. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. I want you to know, even dead people can come when Jesus calls. And by the way, isn't it amazing that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth? Because if he said, come forth, everything in the graveyard came forth. I want you to know I am glad one day that I heard that voice. I heard that call. I've heard that call since I've been saved. I've made my mistakes. You made your mistakes. I've got discouraged. I've been up and down. But I want you to know every time that I relocated from my problem and got to where he was, glory to God, it helped me. Number two, and I'm closing in. Ooh, look at verse 29. I'm just going down to scripture. Look at it. Take my yoke upon you. Boy, oh boy. Are you with me? And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Not only the call of the invitation, but secondly, I see the companion in the invitation. See, God doesn't bring you to him and then leave you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. By the way, this yoke is a yoke of mastership. It's not a yoke of rulership. It's not a yoke of dictatorship. It's, hey, you want rest? You said, boy, I know what them yokes look like. I get in that yoke. Them old yokes, they hurt. The yoke he's talking about right here today had two holes. Now, I hear this a lot. Well, preacher, I'd be saved, but I just don't think I could live it. Well, you just don't understand something. He's in there with you. And I see some Christians that have fell into sin, are away from God. And probably Christians in this room, you're saved, you love God, but you're in this room discouraged and down, and you've got all kinds of problems. They're heaped up to here. And you feel like you're so burdened. You know what your problem is? You haven't realized he's your companion. He'll get right in there with you, and there's no hardship that Jesus Christ can't take care of. Somebody help me pray. You know what hard living is living for the devil. The way of the transgressors are hard. Amen. You're not yoking up to the law. You're yoking up to grace. You're not yoking up to works. You're yoking up to mercy. You're yoking up to peace. Hey, you want peace this morning, Christian? Come to Jesus. You want peace, sinner? Come to Jesus. He said, take my yoke upon you. And, well, glory to God. Amen. See, Christ just doesn't tell us what to do. But he shows us how to do it. Amen. He said, take my yoke and learn of me. See, a lot of people think, well, you get saved, you got to be this some kind of super Christian, and you know everything. No, no, no. That's called growing in Christ. But I'm glad I got a companion. I want you to know I've been saved now for almost 49 years. Look at me. Can you wave at me? I got somebody with me. He's never going to leave me. He's with me. He loves me. And when I'm down, he's lifting me up. When I'm out, he's pulling me back in. What a Savior. What a God. What a Lord. And I'm done. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I see thirdly and finally the comfort of this invitation. Ye shall find rest in your souls. Let me ask you something. I'm done. How many of y'all agree with me? We're living in the craziest time ever. Anybody here would scotch for me for that? I mean, I really think people done lost their mind. You know, I heard somebody say this. Now, I'm closing, but I want you to hear. I asked him, why ain't you been to church lately? Well, I just got problems. What kind of nuthead would say that? I'm not coming to church because I just got problems. Ladies and gentlemen, it's when you got your problems when you need it. You need it right now. You need him right now. And say, man, if you're here, I ain't telling you to come to religion. I'm not telling you to come to me. And you might even think I can't live it too hard. I've committed too many sins. Listen to me. He's just simply said, come on, come on. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Bow your head with me. Those who come to piano, thank you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask every Christian, if you're a discouraged Christian this morning, or if you're a Christian who's got a problem bigger than you are this morning, and you're weighed down with all kind of pressure and problems this morning, would you raise your hand and just say, by that, pray for me. Every Christian that's just weighed down this morning, come into church just all heavy laden this morning. Yes, amen. Others, how many unsaved people would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not saved, but I want to find rest. I'm so troubled. I want to find rest. How many people in this room, maybe you've had some tough things happen to you over the last few years, and boy, they burn you down. And you've had some circumstances that have been real difficult. Can I say to you, Christ is your answer? How many Christians just are sinners, unsaved people? Raise your hand right now and say, pray for me, preacher. I need Christ. I need to go to heaven. I want Christ. Just slip your hand up. Slip it up. Slip it up. God bless that hand. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Say it with me, please. I would like every Christian that has a burden on you today that you can't, and a problem on you today that you can't handle, would you come up around this altar and talk to Dr. Jesus? That's right. Come on. Every one of you. Our Father, this week has been a tough week. Think about what went on with Lynn. And then I think about Brother Ray and Frankie and their family, and I pray for Debbie this morning. Amen. I pray, God, she's hurting. She lost her hubby. I pray for those two boys that, Lord, got hurt. I pray right now that you touch and help those people in here. There's couples in here that don't even talk to each other, Lord. Help them to come up this morning and give their burden to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you coming? You ought to hurry.
Bring your burden to Jesus.
Let's bring them. If you're lost, you've been holding on to everything. cares. He knows them midnight hours you've been spending hurt. You're spending crying and weeping and having a hard time. He knows those. He's acquainted with it. He just wants to give you rest.
To Jesus and leave it there.
Difficult. We lost a person. A lot of you haven't seen her because she worked up in that crow's nest and did our video for years. Well, I know she has a lot of friends in this church and they're hurting. I will tell all of them there's rest in Jesus. And I thank her brother Ray and Frankie. Their daughter Debbie's husband was in a crash this week and he was killed. His two sons were really hurt bad. I haven't heard word on them today, but I'm praying for them. And boy, there's burdens everywhere. But I'm glad he's the burden bearer. I'm glad he'll help you. Woo! No, we ain't alone. How many of you sometimes you feel like you're going alone? And that's when you're really in bad shape. But we ain't alone. Folks still praying right here. Getting close to God, getting right. Let's sing just a little more. Then we'll take this offering up. Anybody else? You're lost.
Bring
you're undone.
Your burden.
You're hurting this morning.
To Jesus.
All you gotta do
leave
is come to Jesus.
There.
Amen. Bring your burdens to Jesus.
Leave it there.
Amen.
Bring
Amen. Pray for these ladies. Have a real burden. Amen. Will you be seated? Ushers, will you come, please? Now, some of you might be new, but what we do at Christmas, we make fruit baskets and food baskets. And we put a big ham in it, and it takes a lot of money. It takes about $16,000 to take care of about 300 people at Christmas. So how many are you glad that you can be on the giving side instead of the receiving side, that you're not hard up and hurting that way? And you'll have a meal at Christmas because God, you know it, but there's people that won't. So dig real deep right now and pour to God. Let me pray. Our Father right now, Lord, I ask you, just take care of this offering like you always have. Lord, thank you for your care for me. How much you love me. Lord, I'm glad to find rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen.